Hi, I'm Lisa Schaefer, and this sermon was originally delivered on Sunday, August 5th, 2018. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, it was not recorded at the time it was delivered. So I'm going to deliver it again here and hope that you will appreciate it if you were there or even if you weren't there. The title is Hands of Peace. I've been thinking a lot this summer. I'm thinking a lot about Dana, a courageous 17-year-old Palestinian girl who we were privileged to host in July as part of a program called Hands of Peace, whose mission is empowering young Israelis, Palestinians, and Americans to raise their voices as leaders of change. I'm thinking about some of the wonderful sermons we've heard already this summer. Kay Bolden, Love is a Warrior, Not a Saint, which called on us privileged white folk to get used to being uncomfortable as people outside of the power establishment speak their truths. I'm thinking about Lama Kathy calling us to follow the Buddha's teachings, to give up the easy path of anger and take up the hard work of love. I'm thinking of the children separated and incarcerated at the border, trying to flee disasters that the United States helped create. I'm thinking of students from Parkland High School in Florida who responded to tragedy by speaking up and taking action, who embarked on a national bus tour to register young people to vote and to take action to address gun violence. And although I realize it's not all about me, I do think about myself, not really retired, but as I put it, post-career. As an affluent, white, native-born American citizen, as a progressive activist, as an evangelical Unitarian Universalist, as a wife, mother, friend, colleague, as a human being, what should I be doing? I'm thinking of the question Candace Sage's Generation Service asked, what do I want to do with my one wild and precious life? All my life, I've worked for peace in one way or another, building bridges between our divisions, as the opening hymn said. But peace is hard. And I'm seeing so many bridges undermined by greedy short-term corporate interests and racist politicians with vendettas. My tiny peace efforts don't seem to have made much of a difference. The bridges are sagging and they need reinforcements. But I have hope that together we can strengthen those bridges and add new ones. The Hands of Peace theme song says, "We are people from different nations. Together we can fill the world with hope. Hands of peace, we're building a bridge. Put your hand in mine. Trust in me, we'll change the world. It takes an open mind to see the other side. Just hear me out, and that's a start. With your commitment and with honesty and time, you will feel a change of heart." This program is about the challenging work of listening to people who have a lived experience different than our own, and who come to a different view of the world, of their place in it, and of their future prospects, and their ability to influence or control their environment. It's about speaking your truth while acknowledging other truths are also valid. It's work we all need to do. F. Scott Fitzgerald said, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function." And Eva Schiffer, who is a facilitator at the World Bank, wrote, "Holding two conflicting truths in your mind at the same time is painful. It doesn't somehow feel right, because from back in the caveman days, we are wired to pick one truth and run with it. Mammoth or no mammoth? Clear thing. If you accept conflicting truths, the world will yell at you. Are you for us or against us? Make up your mind. And because you accept both truths, both parties will think that you are against them, as you accept the truth of their opponents as well. But I am convinced that true wisdom comes from holding steady and giving all kinds of conflicting truths a space at your table. Training your mind to hold steady while hosting different truths will lead you to a deeper understanding of the world and to a deeper connection to all people you encounter, because you will consider their truth to be true." In other words, the bridges we're building need to allow for traffic to go in both directions. Imagine having to pass through an Israeli military checkpoint every day to go to work. Your family dinner time depends on whether the soldiers at the checkpoint decide to close for an hour or two, or decide they need to spend extra time with some individual who just wants to go home. Imagine needing to go through a military checkpoint to visit your 87-year-old grandmother who still lives in a Palestinian refugee camp because she refuses to accept that the Israeli occupation of the West Bank is permanent. Imagine not being able to wear this shirt that says Salam, Shalom, Peace because it has Hebrew writing on it and you would be shunned and considered disloyal. And because your people are uncomfortable with the word peace because it implies acceptance and normalization. This is the world of 17-year-old Dana Ramzi Abu Salem, who returned home to Bethlehem on Monday. Dana was in her second year participating in Hands of Peace, which brings together teenagers from Israel, Palestine, and the United States for intensive dialogue sessions and shared activities, which included a trip to the U.S.-Mexican border to see our border wall, making sandwiches for homeless people, attending services at a mosque, a synagogue, a Presbyterian church, and the Palomar UU Church, beach campfires, cooking and sharing traditional foods, skits, singing, and much more. For many of the participants, it was the first time a Jewish Israeli had ever talked to a Palestinian. It was the first time a Palestinian had met an Israeli who wasn't in military uniform. For Palestinian citizens of Israel, a group I honestly had never thought about before, it was the first time many of them were able to speak honestly about the discrimination they feel living daily as a minority in the Israeli state. Lur, one of the Palestinian participants from Haifa, rejected the Palestinian Citizen of Israel label, which, it turns out, was chosen by past participants as an improvement over Arab Israeli. Lur declared that she is a Palestinian citizen of occupied Palestine, period. The intent of the Hands of Peace program is not to change anyone's mind or to achieve any kind of consensus. The point is to open their minds, to provide a safe and facilitated opportunity for young adults to listen deeply and to hear the lived experience of the other. They are able to understand for the first time that there's more than one narrative about the conflict. Some testimonials from participants talk about their realization that the other side has suffered too. It's the first time they've thought about it, and to realize it's possible to feel empathy or compassion for people they considered the enemy without being disloyal to themselves and their people. In other words, they've learned to hold two truths simultaneously. They learn that the conflict is difficult for everyone, that distrust and anger may come from real lived experiences and encounters, and they learn above all that we are all human and we all have much more in common than what divides us. Hands of Peace has been a learning experience for host families as well. I have a PhD in political science and spent my career in international relations. I consider myself pretty well informed about world affairs, and yet I know almost nothing. I had even visited what I referred to as Israel, but will now identify as Israel-Palestine. I've been to Jerusalem and seen the holy shrines, but the terms West Bank and Gaza didn't really mean very much to me. Learning about Dana's life and hearing from other Hands of Peace participants, it has become much more real. Dana described a concern with her situation. She now knows as friends, young Israelis who will be required to join the military and may likely serve at checkpoints near her home in Bethlehem when they get back. One of this year's participants, in fact, reported for duty just the day after he returned from the program. What if Dana passes through one of those checkpoints? Can she acknowledge that she knows this Israeli soldier who she previously had hugged and played with? What would the other Palestinians around her think? What would happen to the Israeli? She says she doesn't know what she will do. What would you do? Culture Night is a special event in the Hands of Peace program when each delegation cooks traditional food and offers a skit for the other participants and host families. This night happens during the first week of the program. It enables each group to present their culture in their own way and usually offers a platform for the next day's dialogue session to go much deeper into the feelings and experiences of the participants. As part of the Palestinian skit, two of the female students recited the spoken word poem, Shades of Anger, by Rafif Ziada, that I read earlier. Let me repeat the opening lines. Allow me to speak my Arab tongue before they occupy my language as well. Allow me to speak my mother tongue before they colonize her memory as well. I am an Arab woman of color, and we come in all shades of anger. All my grandfather ever wanted to do was wake up at dawn and watch my grandmother kneel and pray in a village hidden between Jaffa and Haifa. My mother was born under an olive tree on a soil they say is no longer mine. But I will cross their barriers, their checkpoints, their damn apartheid walls, and return to my homeland. Imagine the courage it takes for 15 or 16-year-olds from Palestine and Israel to speak and hear those words, and their own words like this. Imagine hearing from one of the Jewish Israeli participants whose family fled from persecution in Russia to emigrate to Israel in their search for a safe haven where they could worship in their tradition. Imagine hearing a Palestinian citizen of Israel talk about the discrimination he experiences, from people staring when he uses his own language of Arabic to being refused admission to college because he's Palestinian. And imagine the American youth, kind of like a deer in the headlights, recognizing how little they and their American adult counterparts really understand about any of this. Every day, the teens spend 2.5 hours in dialogue about what they refer to as the conflict. They're not allowed to stay superficial. They have to go deep. They cry and they shout, and they learn to listen. By the end, they feel heard, perhaps for the first time, and they will never be the same. One American participant said he was amazed that after an intense dialogue session, when Palestinian and Israeli teens were shouting at each other and crying, instead of walking away in anger, they hugged and had lunch together. He said we Americans have a lot to learn from this example and encouraged us to stay connected, especially when we disagree. I can't be the same either. I don't know the solution for the conflict. I do believe that the alumni from Hands of Peace and other cross-cultural programs are part of the answer. We know that one tool tyrants use is to create separation and dehumanize the enemy. Sitting together for 3 weeks in deep dialogue, sharing food, volleyball, singing, and storytelling does just the opposite. Hands of Peace makes the other human, and everywhere they look, they see more commonalities than differences. We are all the same human family. We do want the same things. Love, connection, security, meaning. And we've been working on it for millennia. When I was their age, I was protesting against the Vietnam War. Just like these teens, I didn't want to see my brothers and their friends shot and killed. I was chanting, "Wars will cease when men refuse to fight." Is it progress that now I'd have to say, "When men and women refuse to fight"? Anyway, do any of you remember Universal Soldier by Buffy St. Marie? He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me, and brother, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war. Well, that song got me wondering, and through the magic of Google, I learned that there are Israeli citizens who are conscientious objectors, or refuseniks, and others they refer to as selective objectors, who serve in the military but refuse to go to the occupied territories. Captain David Zonsheim and Lieutenant Yaniv Iskovitz, after serving in the Israeli military, came to realize that fighting in Gaza and in the West Bank would not be protecting the lives of their loved ones, but that the occupation poses a threat to the security of Israel. They wrote what has come to be known as the Combatant's Letter, in which they pledge their ongoing commitment to the security of Israel, but declare that they will take no part in missions intended to prolong the occupation. To date, 623 combatants from all units of the Israeli Defense Force and from all sectors of Israeli society have signed the letter and have joined the nonprofit organization Courage to Refuse. Over 280 members of Courage to Refuse have in fact been court-martialed and jailed for periods of up to 35 days as a result of their refusal. High school students who have not yet joined the military are also speaking out. The Times of Israel reports in an article from December 2017 that in a letter to the Prime Minister, 63 teenagers urge all Israeli youth to refuse to serve in the military until the occupation ends due to the, quote, racist government policy, unquote, in the West Bank. Dozens of 12th grade students say they are refusing to be drafted into the IDF in protest over what they say is the Army's implementation of a racist government policy that violates human rights. Quote, we will refuse to serve in an army out of a commitment to the values of peace and with the knowledge that there is another reality that we can create together. We say to the rest of the country's 12th graders, will your military service really help bring about that reality? Unquote. Israel allows military service exemptions for a number of reasons, but not for conscientious objectors. Refusal to serve is one of the most divisive issues in Israel. Youth leadership is not limited to the Middle East. The World Economic Forum in Davos recognized the growth and strength of the global youth movement, empowered in part by the technology that allows for rapid sharing of information across borders. Gordon Brown, UN Special Envoy for Global Education, wrote, almost a century ago, Eglantine Jebb, who founded Save the Children, said the only language everybody could understand was the cry of a child. But the cries of children have all too often been swept aside, and even the most progressive among us have acted as if children are silent observers, to be seen but not heard, passive objects of our actions. If the enduring image from a century ago is one of helpless children waiting to be protected and pitied, then the image remembered by the next generation will be radically different. As young people connect, communicate, and assert their rights, their cries are less likely to be tearful pleas for charity than defiant marches demanding justice, unquote. So, what are we to do? What are we called to do as Unitarian Universalists, as Americans, as humans, as sentient beings? We first need to become aware, to wake up. Our religious education program here is a component of the youth movement, and we should take pride in our history and our work to empower our youth. And we need to do more. I call on everyone here to consider how you can support youth, whether in your neighborhood, in the Hands of Peace program, through youth-led climate action, or Malala's efforts to promote education for girls, or any number of other efforts around the globe. This is our work if we are going to be true to our UU principles, including the inherent worth and dignity of all people, and we should add, at all stages and ages of life, our belief in justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. I believe there is hope for the future if we can find peace within ourselves and let it ripple out through the ever-broadening circles of our influence. We need to use our time, our talent, and our treasures in solidarity with this new generation of leaders. As Eduardo Galeano said, I don't believe in charity. I believe in solidarity. Charity is vertical. It's so humiliating. It goes from the top to the bottom. Solidarity is horizontal. It respects the other and learns from the other. I have a lot to learn from other people. And Lilla Watson wrote, if you have come to help me, you are wasting your time. If you have come because your liberation is bound up in mine, we can work together. Let's work together in solidarity to build strong bridges and to keep them strong through dialogue, courage, and commitment. As the Hands of Peace song says, put your hand in mine. Trust me, we'll change the world. It takes an open mind to see the other side. Just hear me out. And that's the start. Thank you.